From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, ladies and gents? It feels so good to be back on the seat here in the studios of WKAR. So glad you allow Current Sports to be a part of your Monday afternoon. Well, today's show, we talk about the Tigers' All-Star selections, NBA free agency, Josh Gordon's DWI, and bring to you our weekend winners and so much more. Again, our phone lines will be open to take your calls throughout this entire hour, 517-355-9527. But before we get to all of that action, hey, here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners.
Good afternoon. I'm Alex Sharg, and these are your Current Sports quick hit headliners for this Monday, July 7th. The MSU women's basketball head coach herself, Susie Merchant, announced the hiring of David Thomas as the program's new director of basketball operations. Thomas was a member of the 2000 Spartan men's basketball national championship team and replaces Julie Dombrowski, who started at Oakland University as a women's basketball assistant coach on July 1st. Thomas will officially begin his new position on July 14th. After 5 months without a permanent athletic director, Oakland University is moving forward today. The school will announce its new athletic director at a 2 p.m. news conference. The program has been without an athletic director since Trathy Huth resigned in late January. He stayed on as a consultant in the past few months. CollegeAD.org, a website for news regarding the industry, reported that Oakland has narrowed its list down to three finalists: Cal State Bakersfield AD Jeff Kania, Bowling Green Associate AD Mark Shook, and St. Bonaventure AD Steve Watson. The Lansing Lugnuts lost a three-game series to the Great Lakes Loons over the holiday weekend. Cooley Law School Stadium welcomed a total attendance of 22,450 for the three-game series. After a day off, the Lugnuts hit the road to face the Lake County Captains on Tuesday night. Right-hander Brad Allen starts on the mound for Lansing, with righty Mitch Brown pitching for the Captains. Lansing United, on the other hand, is making a late-season push with two key wins over the weekend. United topped the Cincinnati Saints 4-1 on July 4th at home, then beat the Michigan Stars 1-0 last night on the road. They return home to square off against Indiana and Detroit City to finish out the season this weekend. After a dominant 8-1 win on Thursday, the Detroit Tigers dropped three straight to the Tampa Bay Rays, ouch, to lose the series. Tampa cruised to 6-3, 7-2, and 7-3 victories behind strong efforts from Alex Cobb, Chris Archer, and David Price. Detroit will take tonight off before hosting the LA Dodgers for a two-game series starting Tuesday. The MLB All-Star Game rosters were released last night, and three Tigers made the cut. Miguel Cabrera, Victor Martinez, and Max Scherzer made the AL roster, while Rick Porcello is one of five players eligible in a fan vote to determine the final roster spot. To Wimbledon, Novak Djokovic topped Roger Federer Sunday in a five-set battle for his second Wimbledon title. The win propelled Djokovic back to the number one ranking, which he last held 9 months ago. Prior to Wimbledon, he had lost the last three Grand Slam finals matches. To World Cup action over the weekend, a lot of close games and even some penalty kicks. On Saturday, Argentina beat Belgium 1-0, and Netherlands edged out Costa Rica in penalty kicks 4-3. Germany beat France 1-0, and Brazil snuck by Colombia 2-1 on Friday in the quarterfinals. Brazil and Germany kick off the semifinals today at 4 p.m., and Netherlands plays Argentina on Wednesday at 4 p.m. as well. Both will be aired on ESPN. In UFC, heavyweight Stefan Struve threw in the towel before hitting the ring. Struve was set to take on Matt Mitrione on Saturday night in the UFC 175 fight, but was pulled right before due to circumstantial medical conditions. He was rushed straight to the hospital, and his fainting was ruled as a panic attack. A year ago, it was discovered that Struve had an enlarged heart. There is no further word if Struve will return to the ring. And finally, Cleveland Browns wide receiver Josh Gordon was arrested Saturday night in the vehicle of Charlotte Hornets player P.J. Hairston. Gordon was driving a 2015 Cadillac Escalade registered in the name to Hairston, and officers claimed he was drinking on an impaired substance. His blood alcohol content was 0.09 at the time of his arrest, and he was released on a $500 bond and is due in court on August 26th. Those are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. Time to send it back to Al to start the show. The lines are now open. We'll be right back.
Oh boy, it feels so good to be back on this Monday, July 7th, 2014. Hope you all had a very, very relaxing and fun-filled July 4th. I know I sure did. Made the drive back down to Detroit to see a lot of family and friends I hadn't seen in quite some time. Ate a lot of food, stuffed myself, and, you know, it kind of feels like a weird Monday. I'm kind of tired, to tell you the truth. You know, usually I'm coming here like I did last year on, you know, after the July 4th weekend and festivities, saying, man, that weekend flew by. But, man, for me, that was a pretty long weekend. I'm kind of exhausted today. I'm a little tired, I will admit. I had to drink about, I not only had, this is a weird morning for me. I usually have a cup of coffee. This morning, I had 3 cups of coffee. Can you believe that? Crazy. Matt, how you doing, man? How was your July 4th, bud?
Oh, it was great. For me, I don't think it was long enough. I would still enjoy another day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, without a doubt. But, man, I'm tired. Are you tired today? I'm tired.
I'm tired. It was a long weekend, like you said, but couldn't have had a better time.
That's good. Did you pop any fireworks? I'm curious.
I did.
You did.
You know what? I did not have any hot dogs.
You didn't have any hot dogs over the weekend?
I think our contest kind of turned me off of hot dogs for a little while.
Crazy stuff. I still can't believe we did that. And I actually played basketball that same day. Went out because I told you I was playing ball with my friends that same day. Went out, man, and I had an average day. I wasn't Al Jordan. I was more like Al Cole, you know, Norris Cole or something. I was, you know, facilitating a lot, you know, trying to get people involved. I took a lot of shots, though, I will say, just trying to get myself in that group, but it just wasn't coming, man. I had a okay day. Alex, how was your July 4th?
July 4th was great, Al. Went up to northern Michigan a little bit. Did some hiking. So still had a little current sports with me. And did not eat any hot dogs as well. Just couldn't bear the embarrassment from winning a...
But you won, though.
Yeah, but it's sad, you know. It's sad because...
There weren't really any winners.
No, not really. After you scarfed down that many hot dogs.
It's sad to say, yeah, I've got a nice bellyache, and I'm really nauseous now. Yeah, I won.
Right,
no, you know,
right.
It's not fun. So.
Yeah, scarfing down hot dogs in 5 minutes is certainly, I just didn't feel right afterwards. But you know what? Well, I'm glad you guys had a good 4th, and for everybody out there who celebrate the 4th, I really hope you guys were safe popping those fireworks. I actually, you know, we do it every year with my family. We go out that same night, July 4th, I go crazy and buy my little sister who's she's 8 years old, and she loves doing it each and every year. I went, you know, kind of crazy this year and really spoiled her with a lot of fireworks this year. And, we pop them right outside the house. And you know what? I was really taken back today because on the drive here to work today, I was listening to the radio, and I was telling Alex about this, but a guy who I've been watching for quite some time in the Detroit area for Channel 7 News, Dave Rexroth, who is the chief meteorologist at Channel 7 News down in Detroit, he was seriously injured on July 4th in a fireworks accident that took place in Iowa. He was there on vacation with his family. It caused him to lose an eye. He has lost vision in his left eye, and he remains hospitalized in Iowa City right now. He is scheduled for surgery on Wednesday. Now, he is to receive a prosthetic eye and is expected to fully recover by September. That is crazy stuff, guys. You know, and Dave, I was talking to Alex about this. You know, us both growing up, all of us really growing up in the Detroit, Metro Detroit area at least, and watching Dave for years. He's a great guy. And to see something like that happen, a few of my former colleagues at Channel 6, Lisa, who I used to work with at Channel 6, she works now at Channel 7 in Detroit, knows Dave pretty well, and posting on her Facebook status the news, and I couldn't believe it. So, got to be safe out there, though, man. Gosh, that's crazy stuff. So, thoughts and prayers out to him, man. All right, folks, but as far as current sports goes, as always, each and every Monday, we have a ton to talk about, trying to catch up on all of the weekend action. We're going to do our best to do that in our solid hour that we have here today. We'll talk a little Tigers, a little NBA free agency, talk about Josh Gordon's DWI, and so much more. You know, we actually, speaking of the hot dog eating contest, we had an interesting interview. I'm pretty sure many of you who were involved, highly involved in your July 4th activities, you know, you may or may not have gotten to tune into current sports on that day to witness our hot dog eating contest. But actually, you know, besides the contest that the three of us had, Alex, Matt, and I had on the show that day, I talked with Sam Barkay of Major League Eating, who is an MC for the MLE, as they like to call it. And, you know, he talked about, you know, the hot dog eating contest. It happens each and every year. The national one does on ESPN. And how about Joey Chestnut again? What he scarfed down, what, 61 hot dogs, I believe? He came 9 short of the world record that he set the year before. But still, 61 hot dogs, and I believe 10 minutes they do it for the national competition. That is pretty, pretty incredible. Sam, actually, during that interview, predicted that Joey was going to pull it out. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not a reach there, because Joey has been dominating this competition for quite some time. But I got a chance to really dive into and dispel some of the myths that go along with Major League Eating. And Sam really dived into the sport and had some high praises to where he thinks the sport of Major League Eating will exist in 5 to 10 years, as far as his popularity is concerned right here in the state. So you'll get to see that interview. We'll play a portion of it. It was so good. We'll bring it and play a portion of that interview during our second segment of today's Current Sports. Let's start off today's show, though, by talking a little Tigers. As Alex mentioned in our Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners, after a dominating 8-1 win on Thursday, the Tigers, they've dropped 3 straight to the Tampa Bay Rays. They lose the series there. They lost the Rays series 2-1 there. Tampa Bay, they cruise to a 6-3, 7-2, and 7-3 victories. Well, actually, that was a 4-game series, excuse me. Now, Detroit, they will take tonight off before hosting the LA Dodgers for a 2-game series starting on Tuesday. And you know, guys, when looking at the Tigers right now, again, you know, we talk about it all the time here on the show. Baseball is such a long season, and I really thought that that Max Scherzer, he had an interesting quote, and that really puts a lot of things in perspectives and puts, because right now the Tigers are still, right now, I believe, they have a four-game lead in their division, in the AL Central right now. And Max went on the record to say, you know, after this series ensued, he said, quote, "One of the toughest things to do is being consistent and keep repeating as winners. To try and win this thing 4 years in a row is a daunting task. This year is going to be really tough. And to be past the halftime point and we're in first place is a good sign. I don't care how many games we're up. We're in first place. We've had some highs. We've had some lows. But hey, that's baseball." So even looking at this game in this series, you know, overall, guys, you know, with the Tigers dropping to the Rays, Again, baseball, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. If anything that I'm really alarmed with, I mean, you got to rest Vemar right now. I saw that he, you know, had some soreness, and it looks like he's going to probably take some games off. And, you know, right now, even looking at that, even though a series lost here, speaking of offense, the Tigers, they still lead the AL Central, well, the entire American League, not even just the Central, in hitting with a .276 batting average. So the series might, you know, in looking at how they lost with Porcello, you know, finally giving up a bad outing, even though those things came to fruition throughout this series, hey, the Tigers are still looking pretty. It's very impressive that they still have the lead in the division right now.
Absolutely, and that Scherzer quote is interesting, and you look at teams like, I know it's a different sport, but in basketball, you look at the Miami Heat, mm-hmm. going to the finals 4 straight years. And by the time the series of San Antonio was done, they were exhausted and almost relieved that they were done for a little while. They had some time off. So to be, you know, the end-all, be-all in the AL Central for 4 years, it's draining, especially in a sport like baseball where you have a 162-game season. Like you said, it is a marathon. So I think, you know, losing 3 to the Tampa Bay Rays, you know, it's not a big deal. I mean, they run into Chris Archer and David Price, mm-hmm. who had great outings for the Rays. I mean, they just ran into 2 hot pitchers at the end of the series.
Right.
I mean, game 1, they dominated. I mean, they won 8-1. They looked like they were going to run away with it.
Exactly.
And then they came back to earth. So I think, you know, as long as they sort of even things out by the All-Star break, and I know I've said that time and time again on here.
And that's how baseball is. That's the nature of baseball.
That is how it is. I mean, it's just you got to tread water until games start really to matter more and more and more, which
right.
is, you know, August and September. That's when stuff gets important, and I think that's when the Tigers will kind of turn up their game a little bit. But for now, you've got a 4-game lead over the Royals. You know, the Indians, White Sox, and Twins are 2 games descending behind that.
Right.
It doesn't look like anybody has a real shot at catching them unless the Royals get hot again. And I know we're a long way off in that regard.
Yeah.
But they're the heavy favorites in the division, and for good reason.
They have
the best talent in the division. They have the best pitching in the division. They have the best hitting in the division. I mean, they are the front runners for a reason. And I think right now they're just kind of biding their time until the important games start to come.
I think a lot of it has to do, too. I mean, this Tigers team, and we've said this before, this Tigers team, again, is the heavy favorite to possibly, in many people's regards, before the season even started, many predicted that the Tigers were going to go to the World Series. I mean, the expectations are so high now that if you have a series loss or a series sweep in which the Tigers are on the short end of the stick of, it's amplified times 20. Like, what is wrong with this team, you know? They're a victim of their own success, but as time moves on, I think Max hits it right on the head. They have to get consistent. And consistency really starts to matter the most as the season dwindles down. You get right ready for the playoffs. Now, another thing I want to talk about, guys, of course, is the All-Star voting. Now, I believe all three of us, when we talked about the All-Star voting and who would make the roster, and we specifically honed in on Justin Verlander and whether or not he would make the roster, we all pretty much agreed that, you know, he possibly could get in based on his name recognition just in general. But it looks as though JV is not on that roster. Another interesting thing about this whole thing, as far as the biggest snub as far as the Tigers are concerned, how in the world is an Ian Kinsler not on that roster? I just don't get it. Now, entering Sunday, he was hitting .304, 11 home runs, 45 RBIs, the best season he's had, really, in his career so far. I mean, it's unbelievable. Now, Rick Porcello is still alive in fan voting for the final spot. Brad Ausman had some interesting comments that he believed, you know, there were five Tigers that really deserved to be on the team. Did name JV, you know, on that team. And looking at multiple reports and really diving into that, there's many people. I mean, JV didn't even think he would make the team, so it's not a surprise in that regard. But I am surprised that Kinsler is now on that list. He deserves to be on that list, I think.
Yeah, Kinsler might deserve it, but, you know, he plays the same position as Robinson Cano.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of those things where you got to be the top at your position and you got to be the most popular at your position, too.
Right.
That certainly helps.
Popularity contest, yeah.
I don't think Ian Kinsler is going to lose any sleep over not making the All-Star game. Honestly, I think Martinez should sit it out. Why would he play? Like you said, he's complaining of soreness. Here's a nice 3-day vacation.
Right.
Take time off. Rest yourself. If I'm any of the Tigers, really, I know it's a great honor to play in the All-Star game. And I know that home field advantage is decided in the All-Star game.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's overblown.
It is overrated.
I think it's overrated.
Definitely overrated. I agree too. And you know, I was listening to a few radio shows left and right and online, and a lot of people are you know, that are not fans of the man. I don't know how you can't be. Derek Jeter. Derek Jeter, of course, being named an All-Star. Many people, you know, out there are saying that, oh, you know, does Derek Jeter deserve to be on that team and so on and so forth. But for me, I always look at the All-Star games in whatever sport it is, and even in this context too, when it comes to the MLB All-Star game. It's an exhibition game. It's meant for the fans. The fans, you know, they deserve to have that vote and say as to who they want to see out there. And Derek Jeter, especially with this being his last season, he's got to be on there. I mean, why shouldn't he be on there? Derek Jeter, the incredible career he's had throughout his entire tenure in the MLB. I mean, he deserves to be out there. I want to see him out there, and I want to see him go out being a member of the All-Star team. I don't know why that baffles people. I don't get that.
Yeah, I mean, it shouldn't be surprising.
No.
We talked about JV possibly getting in on name recognition alone.
Right.
Well, Derek Jeter is about the biggest name there is
exactly.
In baseball. And like you said, this is his swan song. This is his last year. I mean, we saw it with Rivera last year, mm-hmm. where he kind of went on tour, and every stadium he went to honored him, gave him a gift, did something.
Right.
You know, he got to give a shout-out to the crowd before the game. And Jeter's going to get the same treatment.
Yep.
I mean, he is Mr. Yankee. He is the guy for this revival of the Yankee success. You know, it is the most popular franchise in probably American sports. So I think him making the All-Star team is absolutely no surprise.
It's a given. It's a no-brainer, man. So were there any other surprises for you, Matt, looking at the entire roster? For me, I mean, that was pretty much it. I was just shocked that many people out there were just, you know, a lot of those have to be, you know, fans of Red. I saw a few Red Sox fans on different forums talking about, oh, Derek Jeter, his numbers don't reflect that. But, hey, it's his last year. He's one of the greatest players of all time in Yankee history. Let him go out like this. You know, let him be an All-Star. So
yeah. It's not surprising, and it shouldn't be. I mean, and people do love to hate the Yankees.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
without a doubt.
And that's kind of dwindled away a little bit as they've kind of struggled, mm-hmm. by their standards at least. But there are always going to be people like that out there who are going to rail against the mainstream, you know, big public team in any fashion. And this is another opportunity. I guess for me, the biggest snub, I guess, and it's kind of hard to call him a snub, would be Jeff Samardzija.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say that. You know, How sad.
He makes the team. He's ineligible to play because he gets traded.
Right, right.
That's rough.
That is a little rough.
That's rough. Tough break for
this guy. Just got a standing ovation last game too.
Right, exactly. Yeah, he's got to be feeling really, really salty right now. Yeah, it's up and downs of that's just the business. That's just politics of the game, I think, right there. But but all right, guys. You know something? I cannot turn on my TV or my radio or go online without reading, hearing, or anything in any regard without hearing the name LeBron James or Carmelo Anthony. This free agency fiasco has certainly turned up, and, you know, I guarantee for those out there, I guarantee if you were going online right now or turn on ESPN or turn on sports talk radio, especially national sports talk radio, you can't turn it on without hearing about where's LeBron James going to go, who he's meeting with, where is Carmelo Anthony going to go, and so on and so forth. I mean, it is crazy. I'm getting, you know, updates on my phone left and right from ESPN Score Center that LeBron is meeting with, you know, Pat Riley later on this week. I mean, it's turned up to another level. First of all, I got to ask you guys, are you enjoying this free agency fiasco, Matt?
To a point.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy the debate and the conjecture to a point.
And what's that line? What's that fine line? So you are enjoying it right now.
Yeah. I enjoy reading the headlines mm-hmm. every now and again, but I don't enjoy being bombarded with them, you know, five times during any national sports broadcast.
Where is
LeBron going? When there's other stuff going on that is more important and certainly more pressing right now.
Right.
We're hearing about, well, you know what? LeBron, he placed a phone call to the Cleveland area.
Exactly.
That's got to be a clue that he... Oh, yeah. I mean, people take anything they can and run with it. So even the most insignificant little tidbit of information is blown into the next break in the story.
Right.
Here's where he's going, and this is why.
Exactly.
And it just doesn't add up.
And it's so funny, you know, about, you know, one of those little tidbits that were really blown up, and you can take it for what it's worth, is when, you know, Chris Bosh was on with a 2 or 3 week vacation out of town. Not really, and there were many people insinuating that, oh, okay, if Chris Bosh is out of town on vacation, and he must be pretty comfortable that he'll be returning with the Heat, and he's, you know, maybe pretty confident that LeBron may be returning. And, you know, then that story changed around with Chris Bosh is on vacation, and, you know, maybe he's kind of, you know, relaxed about the whole situation, is not really harping on it. It's just the littlest bit, little things like that just
get blown
up. And
that's, like, not even information.
That's not information at all.
The guy went
on
vacation. It's not like he can't have a phone conversation with somebody, even if he's on vacation.
It's insane in the membrane, Matt. Ugh. And, you know, LeBron James's schedule was released this week. He's doing his Nike camp, and, you know, he's going out to the World Cup, I know, for the final this week. And, you know, little things like that.
Oh,
and,
my gosh. So you mean LeBron James is going to sign in with a Brazilian team?
Exactly.
Is that what that means?
Who knows? And you could probably insinuate that. That'll probably be a story on ESPN's front page right now. But I'm kind of the same way because, you know, I am an NBA fanatic. And I enjoy it to a certain degree as well just because, you know, LeBron James is the best in the game. He's one of the most popular athletes in the game. And people are curious as to what he's going to do. And right now, I think his legacy, and you know, I talked about this when this first was brought up, when free agency first started. For LeBron James, who I think is a guy who is a player who really, really cares, especially after that whole decision fiasco went down, he's a guy who really cares about how people perceive him, how the fans perceive him, how he's looked at in the national eye. And I just think that, you know, that certainly is a thought that's in his brain that if he does go any, if he decides to leave Miami, if he goes anywhere other than the Cleveland Cavaliers, let's say he goes to, or LA or just any team other than the Cleveland Cavaliers, he's going to be tarnished so bad. The LeBron haters are going to come out once again, and he's going to hear that stuff, and it bothers him. It gets under LeBron's skin. It got under his skin when he threw the whole decision fiasco, and he had national journalists and fans, especially those in Cleveland who were burning his jersey. That rubbed him the wrong way, and I think he's gotten to a point now where his public perception has changed and gone, you know, it's kind of moved into that window of positivity more so over the years after he's won, You know, winning shuts up a lot of people. And he's done that so often now where I think LeBron James, there's still haters out there, but the national perception of LeBron James is leaps and bounds more positive than it was when he first left Cleveland. I think if he does it again, it's going to go right back to that initial hatred for him. And he knows that, that's what is going to happen. I think he goes, if he's going to leave, which I don't think he's going to leave, it's got to be Cleveland, period. And the Dan Gilbert situation is pretty harsh. Because, but you brought up that too, Matt, when you talked about if he does go back to Cleveland. We know Dan Gilbert, when that whole thing went down, he had some harsh things, to put it lightly, to put it kindly, I should say. He had some harsh words for LeBron James and, you know, his reasoning for going to Miami. He said some things that he shouldn't have said, point blank, period. LeBron heard that, but let's say he decides to go to Cleveland, right? I think that a sit down, I don't think this bridge is totally burned. It's not beyond repair. That bridge is not beyond repair. Where you could have, you know, maybe a press conference where, you know, these two sit down and maybe even address what went down when he first left Cleveland. Put it all out there, put all the perceived negative notions out there on the table. And a quick press conference could totally change the perception of those two and their relationship possibly.
I think they'd almost have to.
Without a doubt.
And I think if he did go back to Cleveland, I think you're hitting it right on the head when you talk about him, you know, being rubbed the wrong way by the negative reaction to the decision. But I think what trumps that is the opportunity to win championships. Mm-hmm. LeBron knows that his legacy is going to be measured in titles, and he's going to want to go to the place that gives him the best chance to win more and more and more.
But I tell you what, they have a solid core in Cleveland, though. I could see
Talk
Irving.
Talk to me when Kyrie Irving lasts more than 40 games in a season.
He has to stay healthy. That's true.
He's got to stay healthy.
It's a better team than Miami right now, I think. Looking at it on paper right now, I think Dwayne Wade, you don't know what you're going to get with him. I think he's...
The thing with Miami is they can make some moves, and they're an organization that will kind of do that at all costs. You know, they're gonna try and maintain what they have and improve on it by any means necessary. Cleveland can't seem to get out of its own way in terms of building a roster. And if it weren't for them miraculously winning 3 out of the last 4 draft lotteries, I mean, you know, how much faith can you put in an organization that has been at the bottom of the league every single year since LeBron left?
And that is true, too. Right.
I mean, and the only real hope that you have is that some of these young players will pan out. But, I mean, Tristan Thompson's not doing anything.
Right.
Now, Deion Waiters is okay sometimes.
Right, exactly. And the thing is right now, if you're Eric Spoelstra or Pat Riley for the Heat right now, you're in a rock and a hard place right now, because the thing is, you want to surround LeBron with obviously more talent than what they have over there right now to get him to stay. But the thing is, when they go out and target these big-name free agents and, you know, these players from around the league who are on the market, when you do try to go recruit those guys, they're asking, you know, they're firing right back at Eric and Pat, saying to him, okay, well, if I go, I want LeBron James to play with me. What is he going to do? And you know what? They're sitting there like, if you come, he's going to come. There's no guarantee.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that goes with any organization, because he is the biggest domino.
Exactly.
I mean, he is that top
dog.
He
moves the needle.
Wherever he goes, people will want to go. I mean, Cleveland was trying to trade the number one pick for Kevin Love. Kevin Love vetoed it, said, I don't want to play for Cleveland. But if LeBron was there, in a heartbeat, Kevin Love would be buying lakefront property on Lake Erie looking to play in Cleveland with the best player in the world. And he'd be crazy not to.
Exactly.
So wherever he goes becomes the marquee destination in the NBA.
It does.
Bar none.
It definitely does. So I think, you know, it's tough because, you know, if he's going to stay in Miami, you're going to see some moves made, and you're going to see some big moves made, I think. But
and you'll see guys, you know, like Ray Allen a few years ago.
Right.
Taking a smaller deal to try and win a title.
You see
that all the time. I mean, I remember back when the Lakers were playing the Pistons in the finals, they had Karl Malone and Gary Payton, who were way past their primes.
Oh, yeah.
Way past
exactly.
their primes. But they're just looking to make a run at a ring.
Right.
And they're willing to sacrifice, you know, financial compensation
right
for a chance to win a title. So I think you'll see Miami move some pieces around if he does stay, but it's all dependent on LeBron.
It definitely is. Alex, what are your thoughts on this whole free agency fiasco? You enjoying it?
Yeah, I'm enjoying it for now. once LeBron or the domino falls and he picks his place, I wonder if people will even care anymore about it. I think that if it isn't for LeBron, even if it was Carmelo.
If he goes anywhere other than Miami.
I would argue that regardless of where he goes, it's just the fact that he's a free agent right now. And I feel that after LeBron is gone, this whole saga and the whole coverage won't be nearly as much as it has been. Even with Carmelo, as big of a name that Carmelo is, I just think that LeBron himself, because of the decision, because of all the national journalists you talk about, it's all making this over the top. So I'm curious to see my thought, what will happen after LeBron chooses a place. Not for where the players will go, but if anyone will care.
Well, I'll tell you what, if he goes anywhere other than Miami, you know the coverage is going, let's be honest here, the coverage is going to go through the roof. They're going to be talking about, let's say if he goes to Cleveland, they're going to go showing vintage footage of when he played in Cleveland back in the day. They're going to break down player by player on the Cleveland roster, how this affects other, you know, ESPN,
that's a good point, yeah.
ESPN is going to blow that out of proportion. If he returns to Miami, then the coverage is going to be lesser than if he was to choose somewhere else.
The coverage might be, who will join him? Is Bosch going to Houston?
Right, exactly. That'd be the next question, yeah. And that's another thing in this whole thing. If you're Chris Bosch, what do you do? Because there's talks right now about, to free up cap room, that if they're going to move somebody, Chris Bosch may be that guy that they're going to move. And, I've seen that Houston is really, really interested in Chris Bosch right now. That may be a good move for Chris. I don't know, because right now it seems as though he may be on the hot seat to move somewhere. I don't know.
That could work out for everybody.
Yeah.
Because Chris Bosch is taking a lot of flack, personally, I think unfairly.
Mm-hmm.
But he would be a really nice fit in Houston.
He would be.
Because he's able to play outside with Dwight Howard. He's another shooter, and they love shooters in Houston.
Right.
And it would free up room for Miami to kind of make deals and sign other pieces. So I think that could be an interesting move. But the other thing we're not talking about is that other guys have signed. I mean, Kyle Lowry is gone. He was Miami's big target. Carmelo's not going to Miami. We know that's not happening.
No,
now it looks like your Lakers are making a move.
I was going to bring it up after you talked about that.
Which
yeah, the Lakers. I told you.
I still
you.
Cannot believe. But
I'm
it was not
you.
Because of Kobe Bryant. That, he didn't even make the meeting.
Yeah, he didn't make the meeting. But I guarantee, I bet you they have talked, though. I mean,
oh,
with
I'm
the world
sure they
of
have.
Cell phones.
I'm sure they have. But I'm sure he's talked to players from every team.
And then you forget that his wife is Lala Anthony.
Right, which is the big factor that nobody has.
Yeah, she's an actress and she wants to get her.
She an actress.
Yeah, she was in Think Like a Man too. Yeah, yeah, she acts a little bit there, here and there.
Okay.
And, she's in the entertainment industry, I would say, and LA is the creme de la creme hot spot for that type of industry.
It's true.
And Melo cares about his family. He talked about, how New York was that ideal spot for his family, how they're very comfortable here, and how that weighed heavily into him possibly staying in New York. And you know what's funny? With Phil Jackson, I would love to, we should do a skit on this. The dinner conversation that could possibly go on, that goes on between Phil Jackson and Jeannie Buss. Phil Jackson trying to get Carmelo to stay in New York, and Jeannie Buss probably trying to recruit Carmelo Anthony. I can just imagine. I just would love to be a fly on the wall for that dinner conversation every single night.
Yeah, it's got to be awkward. That's a house divided if I've ever heard of one.
Right, right.
I still don't see him going to L.A. I still don't.
I could see it, man.
I think he'd be crazy to.
If he goes to L.A., the thing that really attracts you, which is why I said I could see him in L.A., is because, one, you get to play with Kobe Bryant. Now, understand, he's past his prime. He's got health issues himself. But you're going to play with one of the greatest basketball players of all time. He's so convincing. And L.A. is just, it's one of the most popular destinations in all of basketball. And I could see him there for those reasons. And then, of course, Lala. So we'll see what happens. Time will go on. And I do think you will see Carmelo in another jersey other than New York, though. I will say that. So, all right. Well, let's hit the first break. When we come back, we'll give you a throwback chat, if you will, a mini one. We had him on Friday. Sam Barkay of Major League Eating, an interesting interview. We'll play it for you on today's show. You don't want to miss that. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Current Sports on this Monday. And, you know, each and every Monday here on the show, we play music entitled Martis Monday. And the reason why we're calling it Martis Monday is we play a certain, just one particular artist in and out of our breaks. And the catch is that artist's name has to start with the letter M. So today, what is it, Maroon 5, Alex? Maroon 5 is rocking the mic today. Thanks a lot for bringing that to us, Alex. He's not only just a director behind the glass, he is also a DJ, okay? DJ Ali Al is what we call him. Because you know, a lot of people, do people call you Al? I always wondered that too, Alex. With because you're, because both of our names start with A-O. Of course, everybody calls me Al. Yeah. My real name is Alan, but do people call you Alan?
Sometimes, Al? My childhood nickname is Shargy.
Okay, Shargy's everybody calls you Shar, but no one calls you Al for
not
Alex. Because
really,
I know a few of my friends, I have other friends named Alex, and they call them Al as well. That's
yeah, it happens. Because then, you know, we don't want to take away from Al Slammer because he has his own Al and Al show with you. So.
Yeah, true that. That's true that. All right. Well, folks, I always have to remind you all that, yes, Current Sports TV is back and in full effect this Wednesday. And my guest for Wednesday's Current Sports is MSU men's basketball redshirt junior guard Keenan Wetzel. He will be on the show this week. Wetzel first played for MSU as a walk-on, appearing in 11 games in the 2011-2012 season. And last year, he was also the co-recipient of the MSU Tim Bogracus Walk-On Award. How about that? And he doesn't only just rock it on the hardwood. He is also pretty talented when it comes to film directing, directing a movie right now that's in the works entitled The Cager, starring former MSU hoop star Delvon Rowe. How about that, guys? That's pretty interesting stuff. That should be the guy. Have you heard about this movie at all? I think you have. Are you showing me the trailer for
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. You know, he's taking it very seriously. He actually came on the Impact and talked a little bit about it too.
Yeah.
But you know,
when is it coming out?
Well, first they're getting some funding. They're doing a crowdfund sort of thing, and they're trying to get enough to fund the project. So I think it's going to come out sometime within the next year, probably more towards the winter, depending how they do. But I think they're doing very well so far. So
yeah, well, we'll
if I'm a listener, I'd be excited to hear about it.
Yeah, well, we'll get an update on it. Again, he'll be on the show. He'll talk all about it on this week's Current Sports on Wednesday. That's exciting stuff. All right, well, you know what? This interview was so intriguing. We decided to bring it back today. Of course, with the holiday going on, we're pretty sure you were maybe, you know, on the lake or barbecuing, maybe didn't have Current Sports on that day. And, you know, I actually got a chance to talk with Sam Barkay of Major League Eating. He's a Masters of Ceremonies. He's the man rocking the mic, giving you the play-by-play of what's going on during every hot dog and hamburger eating contest. He actually set Fridays, because you know how they have it on ESPN, the National Hot Dog Eating Contest. He set that one out because he was actually a judge during that competition on ESPN. And, you know, again, how about Joey Chestnut scarfing down 61 hot dogs to win yet again? Interesting stuff. We had our own hot dog eating contest on the show during that day to see who could scarf down the most hot dogs between Matt, Alex, and I in the span of 5 minutes. We almost hurled after everything was said and done. But, you know, it's such an interesting sport. And Sam gave a, you know, interesting perspective on where he thinks this quote-unquote sport will be in the next 5, 10, 15 years down the line. And he says that, you know, the popularity of it is certainly growing. I first had to ask Sam, though, what is the single most impressive performance he's ever seen in the world of Major League Eating?
It's an easy question to answer, Al. It's got to be July 4th, 2013, almost a year ago to the day. Joey Chestnut on the main stage at the corner of Surf and Stillwell Avenues in Brooklyn, New York at last year's Nathan's Famous event. A world record 69 Nathan's Famous hot dogs and buns in 10 minutes. I was on the stage when it happened and I've still got goosebumps.
Wow.
The most electrifying sporting achievement in the history of mankind.
That's unbelievable. So 69 hot dogs is what he scarfed down.
69.
And that's a record, right?
That is the world record of hot dogs and buns. 69 Nathan's Famous hot dogs and buns in 10 minutes.
You know, we've heard the name Joey Chestnut, you know, reign throughout our TVs when it comes to the hot dog eating contest for quite some time now. He's become a household name and really the face for Major League Eating due to those accomplishments you just alluded to. What makes Joey Chestnut so special? And how was he able to scarf down 69 hot dogs? That's ridiculous.
The thing about Joey Chestnut from a sporting perspective, if you remember those great early Mike Tyson fights, before the first punch was thrown or before the referee even rang the bell, you took a look in Tyson's eyes before the fight, and more importantly, you took a look in his opponent's eyes, and you knew that the fight was over before it already started, right?
Right, exactly.
You know, you just knew. You saw those early Tyson fights, and you just knew that it was over. And Chestnut has the same aura and the same dedication to winning and the same dedication, frankly, to just obliterating his competition that Tyson had in his heyday. So Chestnut has this mental edge over his contestants. You know, he's going for his eighth consecutive yellow mustard belt this Friday, July 4th, at Nathan's Famous. This would be his eighth consecutive victory. No one in the history of sport has ever done this. It is unprecedented. He Wow. obviously has great physical gifts that allow him to, you know, process and to, you know, to put down the world record 69 Nathan's Famous hot dogs and buns. But I think with Joey, he just does not let himself lose. He has a mental edge, and he's willing to do anything it takes in that 10 minutes to win.
And Sam, that's what I want to ask you about, because, you know, when you look at Joey, I mean, he's not, you know, a huge guy. He seems to be relatively slim, but to scarf down the amount of food in that short amount of time, it isn't normal. So I got to ask you, I mean, how is he able to do it physically wise? And, you know, when you talk about preparation for this, how do you prepare your body to go through something like that?
Well, Al, first and foremost, it's a great myth that only big males can succeed in competitive eating. If when your listeners, you know, tune into the broadcast on Friday, on 4th of July, and watch, they're going to see a range of body types, but more often than not, they're going to see athletic, in shape, trim men and women competing at the highest level. You know, the bottom line is you don't actually want to be that big to be able to eat that much.
Right, exactly. So how is Joey able to do it?
A lot of it is about athletic conditioning. You know, like if you were to try to sprint or run as hard as you could for 10 minutes, or if you were trying to, you know, lift weights for 10 minutes nonstop as hard and as fast as you could, or if you were trying to eat hot dogs and buns as hard and as fast as you could for 10 minutes, aerobic and basic athletic conditioning is as important as it is stomach capacity, jaw strength, and things like that. So you're dealing with America's finest male and female athletes competing on July 4th.
So are these athletes at the gym running and doing all sorts of stuff to keep their body in shape to go through something like this as well? Regular training like that?
100%, absolutely. I don't want to speak to all the eaters, but you know, generally speaking, you're talking about a regular regimen of cardio, light weights, you know, trying to build lean muscle mass. You don't want to be too muscular, you don't want to be too tight going into the contest. So lean muscle mass and cardiovascular fitness from an athletic conditioning standpoint are the two key elements, the two key building blocks for success in competitive eating. That and razor-sharp teeth.
That's certainly very, very important, Sam. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are talking with Sam Barkay, who is a representative from Major League Eating, better known as MLE. He is a Masters of Ceremonies. Now, you know, Sam, looking at, you know, an event like the Hot Dog Eating Contest, it's not, you know, the only event in competitive eating. You know, you have the Crystal Hamburgers and so on and so forth. What event do you consider to be the toughest?
I fortunately don't compete.
Right.
I haven't pushed myself physically to the limit like Joey Chestnut has and will this Friday.
Exactly. But for those athletes that you see compete,
you know, it really does vary from athlete to athlete. You've got, you know, you've got wing specialists, you know, like Michelle Lesko, who's who will be competing in the women's division this Friday, who's an amazing wing eater, 115 pounds, stands 5'4", a tiny, tiny girl. She has amazingly fast hands.
Oh, my God.
She's great at chicken wing eating. And she's also great at hot dog eating as well. The eaters will tell you that the hot dogs and buns are among the toughest. The Nathan's Famous hot dogs and buns are among the toughest. Mm-hmm. It's a pure test of technique, of capacity, and of endurance. You know, 10 minutes of eating Nathan's Famous hot dogs and buns as hard and as fast as you can for 10 minutes is a long, long time.
Sam, how does your body build up a capacity to hold that amount of food in your stomach? I mean, that's unbelievable.
I think for a lot of these, I mean, like a lot of athletes, you know, major league eaters, the very best major leaguers, the eaters who you'll see performing on Friday, they do have a God-given talent. They do have a natural capacity. Like, you know, we all know people who, you know, who have bigger capacities than other folk. You know, these are, you know, the top 1% of the top 1% of people you'd know when it comes to capacity.
So
they're going into it with a genetic advantage, I would say, first and foremost. And then beyond that, it's you know, competing in a number of major league eating events. Like, no one comes out of left field as a rookie and wins on the 4th of July. It hasn't happened, and I'd be surprised in my lifetime if it ever happened. You need to be battle-tested, battle-trained, you know, used to competing at the highest level. And then beyond that, it really does come down to a will to win and whether or not the eaters are willing to push themselves you know, to that level to succeed. Like, you know, like any athletic contest, like any sporting contest.
Sam, on this July 4th, when we tune in to ESPN and check out the July 4th hot dog eating contest, other than Joey, are there any other, you know, competitors that are going to give him a run for his money? Is there a next Joey Chestnut, if you will, on the horizon?
Well, I think Joey Chestnut is a once in a millennium.
He's that good.
Figure.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, you know, like a Neil Armstrong. He's just an amazing beacon of light for this nation. But there is an amazing eater who will push Joey to the limit. I was talking to Joey earlier today. He was in our offices here in New York City, and I wouldn't use the word worried. I've never seen Joey Chestnut worried in his life. But Joey Chestnut is definitely mindful, and certainly more mindful than he has been in the recent past going into the event. He's being very mindful and very watchful of a young man also from San Jose, California, the same hometown as Joey, and that's world number two, Matthew Stoney.
Matthew Stoney.
So keep your eye out for Matthew Stoney. Here's the thing about Matthew. Matthew is a relative newcomer to our sport. He's already ranked number two in the world. He's already defeated Chestnut this year in Major League Eating competition.
He has.
In the Gyro or Gyro, depending on your pronunciation, World Championships held in Houston in May. He defeated Joey by a good 2.5 euros in 10 minutes.
Wow.
Now the Gyro or the Gyro is quite similar, if you think about it, to the hot dog and bun. They're both a starch and protein-based tube. So Stoney's already got the victory, and Stoney has an incredible sense of self-belief. And more to the point, Stoney has the gift of youth. Stoney doesn't know what it's like to fail.
Right.
He is gunning for Chestnut like you wouldn't believe. And Joey, when we were speaking today, did say that he expects Stoney to push him to the absolute limit on Friday. So Joey is taking no chances. Joey's taking no chances, and he knows that he needs to go into Friday's contest ready to fire on all cylinders. Joey said if he has a bad day on Friday, the result could be in jeopardy as far as it favors Chestnut. It's like any sport, it's like why you play the game. Nothing is taken for granted in our sport, Al.
Right.
Chestnut knows that if he's going to prevail on Friday, as he certainly hopes to do so, he knows that he needs to be absolutely 100% on top of his game.
So, Sam, when you chatted with Joey out there in New York, from the gist of what the spiel you just gave, did he kind of give off a vibe of, okay, I have to be more aware? Did he seem any sort of doubt or nervousness in his mind, or was he just locked in and knowing that he has to be aware of this other competitor? I'm going to come out there and give it my best.
No, I wouldn't say it's nerves. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like if you were to imagine a pre-Super Bowl press conference.
Right.
You know, if say a defense has a great middle linebacker who's been tearing it up all season, and you know the opposing quarterback is asked, you know, do you fear number 55 in the middle? You know.
Right.
The response is going to be no. Do I fear him? No. Am I mindful of him? Are we game planning for him? Absolutely. So I'd say to use a sporting analogy, that's where Chestnut is at the moment. You know, he's aware of that middle linebacker. He knows the middle linebacker's abilities, but his intention is to throw touchdowns all day long.
And is he gunning to break that record that he set last year of 69 hot dogs?
He is prime. I've never seen, he's in impeccable physical shape. I'll tell you this right now. I hadn't seen Joey for a couple of months in the flesh, and he looks to be in great physical shape. I would be very surprised if a new record is not set this Friday at Nathan's Famous.
Oh, that's great stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on the show, Sam Barkay is our guest for today. He is a representative from Major League Eating, a Masters of Ceremony for that organization. Again, the July 4th hot dog eating contest airing on ESPN today. I got to ask you, when you talk about the popularity of Major League Eating, Sam, will more events be televised in the future, because this really is, when you talk about the entire year, this is really the only event nationally, across the U.S. of A. where people get to tune in and watch this sport on the supreme stage. What does it look like as far as the popularity goes and, you know, its presence in TV in the future? Will we see that increase?
Absolutely. I mean, the popularity of our sport is growing and growing every year. I wouldn't be surprised in the future if we didn't have more eating contests televised than there are televised Major League Baseball games.
Wow.
Which is highly optimistic. I'll grant you that. 162 regular season games, lots of teams. I get it. It's optimistic. But America should prepare for nonstop blanketed TV coverage of Major League eating events in the future.
And how soon are we talking?
As I said, it's optimistic, but if you give us, give us 5 years, I would say Major League Baseball, the National Football League, hockey, we've already completely taken over. I'm sure the so-called major sports leagues of the United States should definitely be watching the rearview mirror. We're coming for them.
And why do you think that? What makes within this 5-year span? What makes you that optimistic and that optimistic that this sport is going to get to that level that you speak of, Sam?
Well, I think our sport speaks to the values of our nation. It's to do with human success, the ability to overcome adversity, the ability to believe in oneself, and the popularity of our sport is skyrocketing. So we're optimistic, we're hopeful, we're optimistic, and more importantly, we're as hungry as ever.
Oh, that's great stuff. Well, I sure hope it does. I love watching it every year on July 4th, I tell you, Sam. Before I let you go, just to talk about the preparation to become a competitive eater, about how long would it take the average person to become a legitimate competitive eater for Major League Eating? I mean, what's that process like, Sam?
Well, I don't want to give a vague answer, but I really do think it varies from person to person. Mm-hmm. If people are interested in checking out the events we have coming up, check out majorleagueeating.com and keep abreast of all Major League Eating action.
All right. Well, during that interview, Matt and I are sitting here kind of chuckling because, great interview. Love, Sam. If you want anybody to endorse a product or sport and have them on a show, that's how you do it. That's the type of guy you want. Ultimate optimism is what I like to call it. Matt, during that interview, we're chuckling about the fact that he thinks that Major League Eating will easily surpass hockey, but will possibly surpass Major League Baseball in 5 years. Come on, son. I keep it real, brother. That's.
And he did drop the National Football League, and maybe it was perhaps a Freudian slip.
Right.
That's his goal for Major League Eating.
Right. No.
He's not sipping the Kool-Aid. He's gulping down 10 gallons as fast as he can, trying to set a world record. I mean, most electrifying competitive achievement in the history of mankind.
Now, he said mankind.
That's Joey Chestnut.
Mankind.
And I will grant him, it was electrifying.
It was.
The most electrifying achievement in the history of mankind. I don't know. Might be a bit of hyperbole, but you have to love his enthusiasm.
Right.
And if he is at the forefront of the, charge of Major League Eating, I doubt nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
I doubt nothing.
He's the type of guy
is a passionate supporter of Major League Eating.
Ultimate optimism. Oh boy, that's fun stuff. Did you get a chance to catch it over the weekend, Alex? The first of all, the interview. Second of all, the hot dog eating contest.
Caught the interview. Missed the contest, but I mean, there's got to be a point in time where Chestnut just keels over from that. I mean,
it's crazy
to do
stuff
it consecutively, yearly, and the amount. I mean, this guy isn't just doing hot dogs; he's doing tons of other competitive eating contests. So it's not like it's a once-a-year thing. This guy's they've got clams contests. They've got nachos.
Well,
asparagus.
Yeah, I was talking to Matt during this break really quick. And, he holds other world records other than just, the hot dog eating record for, how many hot dogs you can scarf down in 10 minutes. He also holds the Twinkies record. He is scarfed down. These are all world records here. 121 Twinkies in 6 minutes. That's unbelievable. Bratwurst, 70 in 10 minutes. Ice cream, 15 pints
in 6 minutes. Pulled pork sliders, 62 in 10 minutes. And hard-boiled eggs, 141 in 8 minutes. That's
Al, we might have to end the show early today, so I can run to the restroom.
I have a stomach ache just saying that stuff. Oh, my gosh. All right, guys. Well, 4 minutes left. A long, long weekend. Many things went down other than, of course, Joey Chestnut, putting down 61 hot dogs. So many things happened in the world of sports. It's our weekend winners. Matt, who are your weekend winners?
Well, other than Joey Chestnut for defending his hot dog eating title and proposing to his girlfriend and getting a yes.
Yeah, how about that? That was great.
Way to go, Joey. Maybe that's why he only had 61. His head was in another place.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go with Tim Krul, the Netherlands backup goaltender, who came in just for the penalty shootout, stopped two Costa Rican shots, and was kind of reinventing trash talk from the goalie.
Yeah.
You walk up to each shooter and tell them, I know where you're going to shoot it.
Right. I like that, awesome. Right?
That was great. Way to go.
That was a great story, too. I love that. He came in and was like, Superman. He saved the day. Unbelievable stuff. That was a great moment.
Not just that, but the whole Netherlands team. Like, they win in penalty kicks game after game. They're edging by teams. Yeah. They're just rolling right now.
They are.
I think they might be the favorite right now.
They're good.
I love watching them play.
They're really good, man.
They're fun to watch.
Yeah. All right, Alex, who's your weekend
winner? It's got to be Novak Djokovic. I mean, this guy consistently gets tailed by Federer, by Nadal, typically losing when it matters, and he finally wins a Grand Slam. Second one, that's a big one for him. I think he's slowly getting his way up to being the best. I don't think he is yet. I think Nadal still has him beat a little bit, but he's getting closer.
Yeah, that's one of my weekend winners. I sat there and watched that Wimbledon finale with my stepdad. Watched the entire thing. We flocked to our TVs once I got the update, and it was unbelievable how Federer he clawed back. He clawed back in that match. It was one of the best tennis matches I've ever seen. I mean, it went to the deciding fifth set, and there at one point, Federer was down 5-2, I believe. Clawed all the way back to push it to a fifth set, and they went at it throughout its entirety. It was fun to watch. Shout out to Novak Djokovic and Roger Federer for both putting on the show. Federer being 33 years old, you wonder how many more years he has in the tank. Looking at how he clawed back, he's still got some fight in him. He's still one of the best to play in the game.
Every once in a while, he can turn back the clock a little bit.
Oh, yeah. He definitely did it then. It was also cool seeing Samuel Jackson in the Wimbledon stands, too. He was looking pretty fly with the blue suit on. But anyway, and also, I have to mention this. For my weekend winner, other than Novak Djokovic, because Djokovic was mine, too. Shout out to Djoko. But also, how about Ronda Rousey? She is becoming a household name. And not just UFC, but in sports. She knocked out, her opponent in UFC, I forget what number it's on now, but we talked about in the headliners, Alex did. 16 seconds? That is, she will knock each and every one of us out that are on this show right now. She is tough as nails. She is redefining what it is to be a woman fighter, in whether it be women's boxing, UFC in general. She is redefining this sport, and it's impressive to watch. I don't know if you guys saw that or caught that update, but she is unbelievable. Weekend loser, we'll get to him tomorrow. Josh Gordon.
Yikes.
What are you doing, man? What are you doing? It's an unfortunate case. He's such a talented athlete. We'll dive into that tomorrow. Jam-packed show for you tomorrow, too. Tune in. But thanks so much to all of you for tuning in to today's Current Sports. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing. As always, take care. Have one fantastic beginning to your week. And as always, be easy, people.